We'll do verse number 56. This is also very beautiful. So I said 54, 55, 56. These are very beautiful. Sarva karmanya pi sada. Kurvano madhya pashrayah. Mat prasadad vapnoti. Shashvatam padam avyayam. So he says, what happens after he does this, knows me, enters me, then what happens? Then what? He says, then sarva karmani api. So all activities sada at all times. So that's why spirituality is not a part-time occupation. You cannot say 5 minutes in the morning I did my puja and I'm done. No, spirituality is a 24-hour undertaking. It does not mean that you don't work. We're not saying that people say, oh, now I am spiritual, so I don't need to go to the office. No. Sarva karmani api kurvana madhvyapashraya. Dedicates all activities to me. Every activity. He says, God, you are working through me. You are with me. The client in front of me is God. The patient in front of me, my children sees God everywhere, and all activities dedicates to me, makes me the goal and makes me the instrument, or I am the instrument in God's hand. Sarva karmani. You know, people come and say, I am retired. I'm 60, 65, I'm retired. What are you going to do now? Nothing. Nothing. That's so foolish, because you have taken from society all these years. Now give back. Go out and serve the world. Now you have retired. You're not getting a salary. You don't have to work 9 to 5, go to an office. You have so many hours. Spend that in service. Go and help the world. Make the world a better place. So sarva karmani api sada. Sarva karmani sada. At all times, all activities. Madhvyapashraya. Then what happens to such an individual? He says, mat prasadat, with my grace, avapnoti. He gets what? Shashvatam padam avyayam, the eternal abode, immutable state, such a person gets because of my grace. Now, this grace word has been very misunderstood. They say God's grace descended upon him, or God's grace descend upon. So he said, God must be very partial. You know, he's sitting there and watching. And he says, this person, and he sends a packet of grace. It comes and hits him. I have God's grace. It's like FedEx. You know, he comes and delivers. So if that was the case, then we have karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga. We would have had a packet yoga. How to get packets of grace, you know. So wait and see when God's grace is going to descend upon. Grace is not, it's not God's grace, is not selective. It's not to one person. God's grace is like fire. I have talked about that many times before. Fire is there. The closer you get to fire, the more you will feel its warmth. The further away from the fire, you will be cold. So the closer you are to God, that much closer you'll feel his grace. His grace is flowing. Our problem is we are not ready to receive it. You know, my eyes are closed, my ears are closed, my mind is closed. Everything is closed. Why? Because everything is out looking into the world, wanting. We don't have time to look for him. Oh, the bichara, his poor guy is waiting. Okay, somebody come to me at least. Tabhi, you know, gods are always standing with their hands up in the temple. Please come and take my grace. We don't have time. I'm too busy. My work, you know, people tell me, I tell them, meditate 20 minutes. So you don't know how busy I am. 20 minutes. I tell them, I say, I have running a full-time practice, medical practice, plus I teach these classes. Every evening, actually, I spent in studying every evening. And I still find time to meditate an hour. And don't tell me you cannot spare 20 minutes. एंड पीपल से दैट, जैसे वो टाइम ही नहीं है, यू डोंट नो हाउ बिजी आई एम. द वन हु गेव यू एवरीथिंग आउट ऑफ 24 आवर्स, यू कैन नॉट स्पेयर 20 मिनट्स फॉर हिम. अरे जिस, द वन हु गेव यू बर्थ, द वन यू गेव यू द क्लोथ्स यू वेयर, द वन हु गेव यू द एबिलिटी, टेक आउट टाइम फॉर हिम, एटलीस्ट एन आवर अ डे, an hour a day reading and at least 20 minutes to half an hour meditating. So at night, an hour before sleeping, I'll do nothing but think about him. Nothing. I should do nothing else. Read God, read about God, listen to his bhajans, listen to his stories. Take out time, because we take out time. Somebody calls on the phone, we're ready to talk for an hour. How long do we spend in Facebook? That is one of the most useless things. I'm telling you, don't do that. In this electronic media, we waste so much time on our cell phone and emailing. And yeah, of course, we have to, you know, deal. I also have my phone. I also do all those things. But you have to take out time for him. Please. There is nothing better you can do with your life than remember God. Remember that, please. So he says, my grace will come to you if you are ready for it. If you are not ready, you know, he's standing outside the door. We don't have time to open for him. Oh, bichara, he's waiting. That's the truth about God. I'm not saying bichara is the fact. Because he's ready to bless us. We have no time for him. But what can we do? He says, okay, theek hai, you keep living your life. Bahu naam janma naam ate, sometime or the other you will realize. Nahi to theek hai, keep living like a worm. Born and die, born and die, born and die. Aur kuch nahi hai tumhare. Nothing else. So he says, you have to change your internal. It has to become an internal change. And your life has to become a life of service. Gurudev in his commentary, he says that God says you cannot enter my abode unless you have the passport of service. The passport has to be stamped, just as we have to have a visa to enter a foreign country. So you have to have the passport of service. He says, how much service have you done? You have taken everything from me. The whole life you have taken. How much have you given back? Unless you have the passport of service, you cannot enter. And it has to become an internal change. Swami Chichimayananda in his commentary says it very beautifully. Young man will say, mummy, daddy, I love you, I love you. Till when? Till he meets a girl. Uske baad gone. Who is mummy? Who is daddy? Forget it. You know, he used to hold it. Now he's moved somewhere and he said, where's your mom and dad? He said, I don't know. He must be somewhere on the East Coast. I haven't talked to them in a while. I must be okay. He doesn't have time to call, doesn't have time to talk. Why? Because he found a new toy. So similarly, we have to change our mind from just chasing after the world, find a new joy in going after God, just as this person. And it has to become a constant thought. It has to, not a part-time, like, say, you know, a mother or a father, for example. He's thinking about his work all the time. And then suddenly he has a little baby girl. Just comes like a little, and after then suddenly his thinking changes, you know, or he never even thought about home. Now my daughter, my girl, suddenly all his mind is there. Even at work he's thinking about her. He takes out his picture from the wallet. She's a tiny little thing, you can't even see the features, you know, just newly born, but he's so happy. My daughter. So just as that kind of love, that suddenly everything is now revolves around the daughter. You know, when I go home, I'll see her, I'll lift her up, how must she be doing? And then he will call and ask, how much did she drink the milk? You know, all that. So similarly, our thinking should become that. And then what happens? You reach that highest immutable state. That Brahman, that consciousness, which is the highest state, which is immutable. Brahman, as we know, is that consciousness, the substratum, which is immutable, never changes. God, millions of years ago, was the same. Today is the same. In the future, it will be the same. And we don't know how many such universes have come and gone. They say each universe lasts for about, I think, somewhere between 2.5 to 3 billion years. So the universe comes, stays, and goes away, merges back. All the stars, they all become black holes and everything merges. That consciousness remains. And then a new world emerges after another 2-3 billion years. And again it merges. We don't know how many times it has gone on, but that immutable consciousness, that is me. That is not somebody sitting up there or in the, above the stars. That is me. That you have to understand. That consciousness is everywhere. It's in the chair. It's in her. It's in the fan. It's in me. I am that. That has to become clear. Not that I am God. Please don't think that starts walking around saying I am God. No. God is me. God is everything and God is me. There is a subtle difference, because a lot of times after people study Vedanta, they become very arrogant. I am God. Did you know that? And they go around, you know, thinking, I always thought I was great, but now Vedanta has confirmed it. I am great. So that's, I'm not joking. A lot of people start walking around with that attitude. Or another attitude which people get, which is even crazier, that one person, he went to some few courses and he started saying, I'm not this body. Now, it's okay you say I'm not this body, but what he used to do, it literally has done it in our house. He was staying 3 o'clock in the morning. He woke up on a winter morning and dived into the pool saying, I am not this body. Now, how much more stupidity can be? You know, that is not Vedanta. Vedanta doesn't say when I am not this body means don't take care of the body. But don't spend your whole life in pampering the body. You know, that is the understanding that I am not this body means my life is not meant to just take care of this body. My goal is higher. So constant thought, he reaches that highest immutable state and he gets eternal life. That's what we said. Then the person doesn't die. That's what Krishna said in the second chapter. You are that soul. Fire cannot burn it. Water cannot wet it. You know, weapons cannot cut it. Nothing. Air cannot dry it. So you are that Atma. You are this consciousness. And you are eternal. That eternal life he reaches. And then this person, when he is in that samadhi, when he is in that merger state, then it's like he can go in and out of the samadhi. It's like what happens in death. What happens in death? You lose this body identification and you lose the world, right? When a person dies, they say mar gaya. Gaya means what? The body is here, the world is here, but the mind and intellect is gone. So he has given up this body, given up this world and gone to a higher state. So a person who is in samadhi can effortlessly go out in and out of that state. One, he is in the world, and when he is in samadhi, he has no body identification. Even the world does not exist for him. In that state of samadhi, he has gone beyond the body, beyond the world to a higher state. And one of the commentaries very beautifully, he describes, he says, what is that state of samadhi? You know, it was very eye-opening for me. So he says, he gives the example like, you know, when you cross San Francisco on 101 and you go past the Golden Gate Bridge, there are two tunnels, you know, one to go and one to come. So you go through one tunnel, say you're going for the weekend, you know, to the wine country and all. You go on Friday and then Sunday you come back. So you go through one, return through the other. Or everybody who comes to work, from Northern California, they go through one tunnel to go to work in San Francisco, other tunnel to go out. But a helicopter pilot can fly over it. He doesn't need to go through tunnels. Effortlessly, he can go back and forth. He doesn't have to go through a tunnel, pay the toll and all. So you and I go through life, birth and death is like that. Go through one tunnel out of this world, another tunnel back. Another tunnel out, another tunnel back, in and out, birth, death. But a person who is realized, who is in samadhi, effortlessly can go beyond death, can experience the death of this body. Basically, death in the sense does not mean that his body dies, but he does not even know that he has a body. He goes beyond the body, and for him, the world doesn't exist for that half an hour or 1 hour. So that is the state of this realized master. He's like that helicopter pilot who has now gone beyond the tunnels. He doesn't need tunnels to go back and forth. So he is gone beyond birth and death. So that is the state of this wise person. That's why he says, Shashvatam Padam Avyayam. He reaches that immutable eternal state which is beyond birth and death. So these three verses that we have done, verse number 54, 55 and 56, show us beautifully the three paths. You know, we said there are three paths, bhakti, jnana and karma. Bhakti yoga, jnana yoga and karma yoga. So in the verse number 54, he says, mad bhaktim labhate param. So this wise person, who is my devotee, he is ever peaceful. He has na shochati, na kangshati. He has no desire, no fear, and sees me in all. So that is the path of bhakti. So Krishna has summarized the entire path of bhakti in verse number 54. That is the path of bhakti. In the path of jnana, in the 55th verse, he says, bhaktya mam abhijanati. He knows me as what? What I am and who I am in essence. Not only as Krishna, the teacher of the Gita, but Krishna as the... That's why in the Gita, Krishna says, Brahmanopi pratishtaham. He says, I am the abode of Brahman. So what does he mean by that? I am the abode of Brahman means me and Brahman are one. Brahman is in me. See, we are also the abode of Brahmana. We are also the abode of Brahman, but we are not able to say that. But Krishna could, because he knew that. You and I also are. That's why you will say, Aham Brahmanopi Pratishtaham. I am also the abode of Brahman. We all are. But we don't know that, and he did. That was the difference. So he says, through the path of knowledge, he knows me, and then he enters into me, becomes one with me. So we have done the path of bhakti, the path of jnana, and the path of karma in the verse number 56, sarva karmani api sada kurvan, kurvana madhya pashraya. Making me as the refuge, he all activities he does for me, and mat prasada the vapnoti, and with my grace, then he reaches the highest state. So in these three verses, basically the entire, that's what I had said. That if you, these verse, three verses, 54, 55, 56, memorize them, repeat them again and again, know the meaning and understand them, then you will reach that oneness with him, a oneness. Then God and I are one. That can only happen when all your instruments are geared towards it. So with the body, we do karma yoga, we do service. With the mind, I love him or her. Whoever, if you're a goddess or god you love, and with the intellect I know him. So with the body I serve him, with the mind I know him, I love him. The body I serve him, with the mind I love him, with the intellect I know him. So what happens? All the three paths. So you cannot say, I'm only going to do karma, I'm only going to do bhakti, I'm only going to do knowledge. We say do all three. Serve him, love him, know him. Use all your equipments for that. And then you wake up to that oneness, that God and I are one and I am not separate. The reason I keep hammering that, because you have to, that has to become clear. I am that. That has to become very clear. That is the basic message of all the Upanishads. That's the basic message of the Gita. Everything else is secondary to that. So these are the three beautiful verses. I'm so thankful I could cover them. I hope I was able to explain them to you, and I hope I was able to inspire you to do this. That is, you know, the biggest service you can do is bring that into your life. Any questions? Other comments, anything? Yeah.
last week you mentioned that all are important, but you also mentioned that bhakti is absolutely necessary. If you had to put the most important one, would you say that Jnana Yoga is the most important? I understand that it's a symbiotic relationship between all three.
Right, right.
But
I think you need both. You need bhakti and jnana, but jnana definitely, because most people don't have the knowledge. See, without knowledge, you can't. So jnana is very important. I think probably I would give the highest to jnana and then bhakti and then karma. But see, they all come together. See, once you know God, then you love Him and you want to serve Him. Once you start serving God, then you want to know who is this God I'm serving. And once you know, then you develop love. It's like, you know, like basketball. For a good basketball player, which one is more important? Knowledge of basketball, playing basketball, or loving basketball? All three are important, right? If he didn't know about basketball, he wouldn't be able to play. If he didn't go out and practice. And also, if he didn't love the game, he would never be good at it. You know, Michael Jordan or Kobe, you know. The reason they are so good, because they love the game. So all three are important, I think. So I think I would apply all three.
Would you agree that the jnana yoga is the most difficult of the three?
Yeah, I think so. Knowing that's why you need a guru. See, karma and bhakti you can do on your own. But yeah, for knowledge, you definitely need a guru. You cannot sit down and read the books. Even if you're reading the books, the commentary has been written by a guru. You know, so yes, I think knowledge is because it needs a sharp intellect. It needs you to devote time, you know, sit down and think about it. And so, yeah, but I think all three, these are three, they say, you know, bhakti and jnana are like two birds of a wing. I mean, two wings of a bird. Bird cannot fly with only one wing. So it needs knowledge and it needs love. Devotion. So together both, again, it depends on your mental inclinations. Like people who are more emotional, for them love of God is very important. So Narad Bhakti Sutra, if you listen to Narad, he says bhakti alone is, everything else is secondary to bhakti. Because why? Because he was a great devotee of the Lord. And that text is called Bhakti Sutra, is devoted to bhakti, where of course he has jnana in it. So it depends on your interest. Somebody may be more interested in, may have more love for God. So you start loving God and then you also have to know. You cannot leave it at, and then you have to start serving. Somebody is a karma yogi, you know, he's a worker. He likes to work. Works for God and then ultimately develops love and knowledge. So it depends on your abilities, depends on your interest. Somebody who likes to sit and read, you know, it all depends on your tendencies. I wouldn't say one is, it depends on what is better for you. Each individual has to pick and choose that I might do predominantly bhakti and less of karma and jnana. Somebody does predominantly jnana, less of karma and bhakti. Somebody is predominantly karma. Like Mahatma Gandhi was a karma yogi. Even though he used to read the Gita every day, he was a great devotee of God. But his goal was karma. So each individual chooses a different path based on their tendencies. So I don't want to belittle bhakti or karma. I think they are all equally important, I would say. Yes?
You're able to gain the knowledge, understand everything, but implementing it, practicing it, discipline, I think that's where the challenge lies.
Yes, absolutely.
Because knowledge is something like we're learning from you, we're reading, we're gaining what the Gita actually represents, what it means. I understand it very well. But now, what's the challenge? Is
yes.
Implementing.
True.
And practicing, and then that requires so much discipline.
Right. It's a bit practice. By a repeated application, repeated listening, and then becoming aware of what I am doing. Like that lady, she said, I don't enjoy going to the mall anymore. So you become aware that what am I doing? Whatever am I doing, is it helpful in my spiritual growth or is it hindering my spiritual growth? So as you become aware, then slowly your mind will, and then also reading stories of great saints. You must do that. I find that is very uplifting. Just pick up books, buy books, you know, stories, lives of great saints, and just read it. Just read it, and you'll be so inspired. You know, read the life of Tukaram, and Mirabai, and Sant Gyaneshwar, and Saint Francis, and Mother Teresa, and all these lives of saints, and how they faced obstacles and still kept on the path. All these Sikh gurus, how they were tortured by the Muslims and they still didn't, you know, give up their faith. So read lives of great saints. You will find that that's beautiful. Somebody said that. I remember that saying again and again. My father gave it to me. He says, lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime. And departing, leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. So you have to leave your footprints by following, emulating these great saints.
Like my dad, he gave me the book To Read, which I read, the autobiography of Paramahansa Yogananda.
Yes.
So that was, I found that very
interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good book. Yes, sure. So do that more and more. I think she also had a question, and then, yeah.
Well, I was just going to say that I had a very good friend. He was a minister, and he was disabled, but, you know, you just never heard one word about it. And he was always very open to hearing about other people's spiritual paths.
Right.
Whatever they be. And he didn't have any particular religion. But he always said that the purpose of life is to help others,
mm-hmm.
including yourself.
Right.
In that, and that's just how he lived. It was,
yes.
It was that bhakti. I mean, he enjoyed the knowledge, this jnana, but for your day-to-day life, what you have to do is you just constantly think of helping others.
Right. Thank you. That's good.
I agree that jnana is, you know, we get it from reading and everything. But is there any other paths we can take to get that jnana? You know, like just watching your surroundings and understanding of God's creation and everything, is that jnana?
Yeah, the more you think about him. But for that, you have to have first the knowledge. You have to have read the book that God is everywhere. So I think reading, listening, and then meeting with Mahatmas, you know, meeting with wise people. I think all those things, listening to them and reading is the best way. That's why they call it Shravana, you know, listening. Listening means listening with through the eyes and through the ears. And listening, not hearing, but listening, means listening with attention, repeatedly. I think that is the best way. But again, all three paths are essential. You have to do all three. That's why three verses, each one is devoted towards that. So we'll have to end. I need to go and talk to the children about Gita and the message of the Gita. That's crucial. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Kashchit Dukha Bhavati. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Namah. Hari Om.